Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be studying Hosea chapter 9. In chapter 8, the descriptions of punishment begin to get harsher and harsher, and sadly this will continue through to chapter 9. Chapter 8 refers to some of the steps that were prophesied in chapter 2, predicted in chapter 2, of things that look successful until at the very last minute it gets destroyed. And in chapter 8, we saw tzemach b'li yaseh kemach, like a sprout that doesn't produce flour. And even if it does produce flour, the enemies will come and they will steal that flour. The chapter ends on an image of the children of Yehuda building fortified cities, but in spite of the protection, quote-unquote, that the walls provide, Hashem will send a fire in its midst, which also is something that we know happened when this Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The first half of chapter 9 refers to the failure to be successful at bringing offerings to Hashem. It also refers to cessation of holidays and festivals, which again we heard about in the second chapter. It seems that as time passes and Bnei Israel do not do tshuva, the dire consequences get worse and worse, and Hashem proceeds one after another through the various steps that he said he was going to do. The parak opens with Pasuk Aleph, Al tismach Yisrael el gil ka'amim. Yisrael, do not rejoice in the type of rejoicing that the nations partake in. Ki zanisa me'al elokecha, for you have strayed from your God. Ahavta etnan al kol garnos dagan. You love the etnan, the harlot's gift, on all the threshing floors of grain. The Navi is describing that the nations would have huge celebrations on the threshing floor when they would bring in their grains. And who would come a-knocking? The harlots, who are looking to be paid for their services. The Malbim points out that there's a message here, that the way the Jews celebrate is not the way the non-Jews celebrate, because they are under the dominion of cosmic forces, the ma'aracha, the systems, as the Malbim calls it. And so when the quote-unquote systems align and the systems work well for them, they're very happy and they rejoice. And I would add, and how do they rejoice at these events? With drunkenness and lewdness, promiscuity, and other vices. But, continues the Malbim, we are not under the dominion of the constellations, because we're betrothed to Hashem, as it said earlier in chapter 2. And so, when a Jew serves foreign gods, it's as if he's leaving the domain of God's divine presence. What a patch and punim. What betrayal. And so says the Malbim, referring back to the themes of the first and second chapter, that one who does so, it's as if one was prostituted herself and betrayed her husband. And in addition to serving foreign powers, the Jewish people will actually have to go from nation to nation looking for food. The message here is not only shouldn't you behave this way, but actually right now you couldn't even if you wanted to because you have no harvest to celebrate. As it says in Pasuk Beis, Goren v'yekev lo yir'eim v'siro shichachesh bach. The winepress and the threshing floor are not places of pasture or of celebration. The wine, so to speak, lies to you because it doesn't produce. Because, as Pasuk Gimel clearly says, lo yeshvu be'eretz Hashem. You'll no longer live in the land of Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, and Israel's land will be desolate. Pasuk Gimel continues, Vishav Ephraim Mitzrayim uva Asher tamei yochelu. So they'll go to Egypt and Assyria and will eat impure bread amongst the Gentiles, and the wine will no longer receive the blessing that it used to get. As it says in the next pasuk, Lo yisku lahashem yayin. They'll no longer bring the nesachim that go along with the karban. V'lo yervu lo zivchechem. And their offerings will no longer be pleasant. And what used to be called Lechem Hashem, the bread of Hashem, which was another name for the Karban, Kilechem Onim, will be like the bread of mourners. Kilechem Onim Lahem, bread of mourners for them. Kol Ochlav Yitama'u, for all who eat it will become impure. Instead of a Karban, it will be like they're making a Sudas Havra'a, the meal that one makes when they return after a funeral. Since the mourners have defiled themselves with tumas meis, the impurity of touching a dead body, they are impure. Therefore, they make the bread impure, which makes other eaters impure. So who are they mourning, says the Malbim? They're mourning the death of themselves. Ki lachmam lenafsham. It's about their own souls that they're eating bread. Lo yevo beis Hashem. Therefore, don't come to the house of Hashem. There used to be a beautiful custom of people taking their dining room table, the location where so many mitzvos of Hakhnasas Arachim occurred, and using it to become a coffin. But there's no such custom as taking a coffin and using it as a table to eat on. Their celebrations, the Navi is telling us, is like eating at a dead man's coffin. The Navi continues, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Mata asuli yom moed, uliyom chag Hashem. What can you do on these festive days, on these days of holiday to Hashem? How can we celebrate the harvest festivals like other nations? You have no harvest to celebrate. There is no Yom Moed. Now you're in Gullus. You have no more opportunities to bring offerings anyway. Your celebrations used to have a Karban Chagiga, but that's not possible anymore. This is just like what it said in Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hishbati kol misosa, chaga, chadsha, shabata, v'chol moadeha. What are these holidays of rejoicing? The idol worshippers would celebrate to foreign powers in the belief that these times were auspicious as the days of success, and that those days and those times, the stars would influence and provide blessing and goodness. But Hashem will cease these days and turn them into days of distress and agony. And through this, the Jewish people should realize that their success is not dependent on the cosmic forces, rather than by Hashem, who changes the times and the constellations at his will. That's how the Malbim describes these celebratory holidays. The next pasuk continues on the theme of exile, and the words are difficult, but the Malbim has a very novel approach to understanding them. We'll see the word mishod. Shod often means theft or robbers, but the Malbim understands the word to be connected to bosom, shadayim. When things are difficult, what do people cry for? They cry for the bosom of their mother. They want to go back to the place where they were cuddled and suckled by their mother. Here too, Kihine Holchu Mishod, Mitzrayim Tekabseim, Mof Tekabreim. They sought out the bosom of their mother, thinking that it was in Mitzrayim, but in the end, Mitzrayim is just going to bury them. Mitzrayim is not really the birthplace. We were never nurtured there. The true nurturing occurred in Eretz Yisrael when we got Chalav Udvash, as we were quote unquote suckled by our mothers. That is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's a natural longing, but they look for it in the wrong place. And they're looking towards the wrong provider. Mof, by the way, is possibly a city in Mitzrayim. What will happen to all their precious treasures when they go into exile? Pasuk continues, Machmad l'chaspam kimosh yirashem choch ba'alehem. Their treasures of silver, weeds and thorns and nettles will inherit them. Maybe this is a little bit of a blessing in disguise in that while their houses are left desolate, they also won't thrive under any foreign rule. Because the day of reckoning is now coming. Pasuk Zayin, Ba'u Yumei HaPakuda, Ba'u Yumei HaShilum. The day of punishment, of repayment is coming. Yed'u Yisrael, this time Israel finally does know the truth. Avil HaNavi, Meshuga Ish HaRuach. There were true prophets who came to warn you, but you view them as fools or as crazy and mad. Al rov avoncha v'raba mastema. Since you sinned, going back to the beginning of the Day of Judgment, and you showed great animosity against the prophets who were trying to help you go in the right direction. The Malbim connects to the next pasuk, pasuk ches, verse 8, Sofe Ephraim im Elokai. Against who did you have great animosity? Against the Tzofe of Ephraim, the seer of Ephraim, meaning the Navi, and against Hashem. Navi Pach Yakosh al Kol Derachav, Mastema Beves Elokav. You tried to trap the Navi, to capture and kill him, carrying your anger as far as the Beis Hamikdash, where you captured, killed Zechariah, the great Navi, and slaughtered him in the very Beis Hamikdash that's meant to atone. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Ha'amiku shisechu kibei ha-giv'ah. They hid deeply from Hashem, and instead they destroyed the right path with behavior like that which occurred during Pilegesh be-giv'ah, the concubine in Giv'ah, the horrific gang rape of a concubine. That is how depraved the people of Israel have become. Therefore, says the pasuk, Yizkar avanam yifkod chatosam. That's why their sin will be remembered and will be reckoned and punished. Before we read the next set of psukim, I have to stop here for a moment and to reflect going forward on what I have learned and what I'm about to teach. This is perhaps the harshest words that we will hear from the Navi Hosea, those of the coming psukim. The descriptions are horrific and graphic. There will be many unanswered philosophical questions. I feel pain in my stomach as I read these psukim, both in terms of the general philosophical statements and in terms of its specific manifestations right now and what's happening to the Jewish people. One thing that comforts me is that I've already read chapter 14, Perek Yudalet, and I kind of know how Hosea ends. And things do turn around, and there is nechama, comfort. May we quickly pass through the stage that describes the next few psukim and reach the rainbow that is Perek Yudalet, chapter 14, very quickly and in our day. On another note, with all the intermingling of idolatry and adultery, I wondered when the Navi would get to Baal Peor, the events that occurred when Bilam, unsuccessful at cursing the Jews, advises instead that they send the Midianite women out to entice the Jews in the last of the 40 years that they're in the desert. And so refers Pasuk Yod, verse 10, Ka'anavim ba'midbar, matzasi Yisrael, kivikura b'te'ena b'reishisa. Ra'isi avoseichem. This is a beautiful start to the pasuk. In the desert, Bnei Yisrael were as precious and as rare as a grape in the desert, unsullied, untainted by illegitimacy that would creep in later as a result of the adulterous behavior. And they're like the first figs, rare as they are few. And even though Bnei Yisrael were that precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hema ba'u va'al pa'ar. They came to Baal Pa'ar. The Yenazru Lavoshas, they dedicated themselves to a shameful thing. Look what they did. They consorted with the women of Moab and Midian. They went from bad to worse, because the Midianite and Moabite women took them to the house of Pa'ar. And through that, the girls called out to everyone to join in bringing offerings to their lowercase g gods. The end result was, V'yihyu shikutzim ka'ahavam, the same amount that Hashem loved them before, that's how disgusting they're going to become. And if that's how detestable were the generation of the desert that had been so beloved to Hashem, what merit do you, people of Ephraim, have? Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ephraim, ka'of ye'ofef kvodam. Ephraim's glory will fly away like a bird. Mileda umiveten umihirayon. From birth, from the womb, from conception. Because they have tainted Bnei Yisrael by mixing mamzerim into the nation. So even before the children are born, their honor has flown away, and the residual effect of their adulterous behavior has brought them down. This theme continues, Ki im yigadlu es b'neihem, ushikaltim me'adam. And even if you rear your children and they grow up, their parents will be bereaved of them, implying that they will die young, as is more explicit in the coming psukim. Ki gam oilahem besure mehem. Also woe to them, for they have turned away from me. And therefore I have turned away from them. Hashem's withdrawing of the Jewish people, or withdrawing from the Jewish people, is what comes with the horrors of exile. And so the Navi continues, Ephraim ka'asher ra'isi litzor shesula b'naveh, ve'ephraim l'hotzi el hareg b'nav. Ephraim, you had all the benefits in contrast to a generation who had to live in the desert. You were given a huge, beautiful, lush land. You were beautifully planted, and the analogy of Tzur, which apparently had everything going for it, and now you also have everything going for you. But you reached this terrible stage where this was decreed upon you, that your children will be brought out for slaughter. The Malbim points out the great irony. By the laws of nature, you should have been tremendously successful in this wondrous land. You should have been fruitful and multiplied in the vast and great land that Hashem has given you. But look what's happened instead. Some understand the verse, Ve'ephraim lahotzi al hereg banav, referring to the worship of the molech that people engaged in passing children through the fire, a horrific form of foreign worship. The next pasuk is very difficult to understand. A number of commentaries call it a tfila, but we'll have to see how. Tein lahem Hashem, mati tein. This sounds like it's coming from Hosea himself. Give them, O God, what will you give? Tein lahem rechem mashkil v'shadayim tzomkim. Give them a womb that miscarries and shriveled breasts. The Das Sofer explains, Give them, O God, what will you give? This is one most terrible prophecies in all of the prophets. When Hosea sees prophetically the evil things that will come upon the people of Israel, he says in the form of a prayer, or perhaps in the form of a curse that can have an effect, that the children of Israel should die when still young and on their mother's laps. Better this, than for them to be killed at the hands of the enemy or grow up like Gentiles. Give them a womb that miscarries, to spare them the suffering and pain of being taken out to be slain at the hands of the Assyrians, or to assimilate amongst the nations. Let the mothers miscarry their children. That is the utter opposite of the blessing of breast and womb in Jacob's blessing. The shriveled breast representing never having gotten pregnant in the first place. This tefillah feels like a cold comfort. And why does all of this happen? Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15, Kol Ra'asam Ba'Gilgal. The word Gilgal says it all. For 14 years, when the Jews entered the land of Israel in the time of Yehoshua, the Mishkan, the holiest place, stood in Gilgal. And in that very place of holiness, the worst violations took place. It was defiled with idolatry, adultery, murder, and other abominations. Taking something neutral and turning it impure, that's bad. But taking something that was truly holy and turning that into a den of impurity? Wow, what a pachin panim to Hashem. The Navi continues, There I hated the evil of your deeds. Not them, but their deeds, the Dasofrim points out. Therefore, they will be sent away from my house, Hashem says. And here the house is not just the Beis HaMikdash, but all of Eretz Yisrael. Lo osef ahavasam kol sarehem sorerim. How can there be hope of their return when all of the leaders are rebellious? We come towards the end of the chapter. Hu ka Ephraim shersham yavesh pri bal ya'asun, gam ki eledun vehemati machamadei bitnam. Ephraim will be struck, their roots are dried up, they won't bear fruit. And if they do give birth, Hashem says, I will slay the cherished of their womb. And the final pasuk really are the words of Hosea. Yim asem elokai ki lo shamulo vehu nodidim bagoyim. It really summarizes everything. My God despises them because they did not listen to him. They will wander amongst the nations. And so have we been doing for 2,000 years. The same Hosea who prophesies such dire images for the future of the Jewish people also prophesies a tremendously beautiful nechama in Perek Yud Dalet. May we get there soon, quickly in our day. Thank you for learning Le'iloi Nishmas Gilbert Karsenti, Menachem Mendel ben Saud.